Thank you for your regular and generous support of Issues Etc. in the past year, 2008. A good summary of my hopes for Issues Etc. for 2009 are St. Paul's words to the Colossians. Pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Thank you again for your support of Issues Etc. We'll continue defending the faith, teaching the truth, and making the most of every opportunity to proclaim Christ and Him crucified.
Rick Warren has been invited to speak. Dr. Joseph Lowery, who has deeply contrasting views to Rick Warren on a whole host of issues, is also speaking.
We are challenging the inaugural committee's right to invite Christian ministers in. That is un-American. It makes those of us good Americans who don't believe in God second-class citizens. It's unfair.
But of course, we'd be delighted to find just the right pew for the Obama family, should they ever like to worship here.
Well, just because it seems natural doesn't mean it's best for you or society. I'm naturally inclined to have sex with every beautiful woman I see, but that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do.
I've come to this conclusion, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know, but that the full understanding of Christianity is going to take a full lifetime of study.
Well, here's one of those places in the Lord's Prayer where I think every Christian who has a sober-minded view of their own life and their own heart will pause, not just pause in the midst of the prayer, but pause mentally and spiritually. You're praying along the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. So far, so good. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. It should make you pause, because how are you forgiving the trespasses against you? How good are you at it? I'm not any good at it at all. I mean, I manage on a day-to-day basis to forgive those I love. But the people I don't like, I don't love, they get very little of my forgiveness, if any at all. And even the forgiveness I do give out to my loved ones, I cannot say honestly that it is not tainted with sin, that it is as unconditional as the forgiveness I receive for Christ's sake, from my Heavenly Father. That's what we're going to talk about here in this first hour of the program today, this Thursday. January the 8th. Jeff was in a hurry when he put my show sheet together. It's not December the 18th, but it is Thursday, and it's January the 8th. Our pastor's roundtable on the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. A little bit later in the program, Larry Rass is going to join us. We're going to talk about Pietism. What is it? It's individualistic, experiential, and subjective Christianity. Is it Christianity at all? Larry Rast of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will join us in about an hour to answer those questions. Before we begin this afternoon, a good friend and a regular guest on this program, Father Richard John Newhouse, passed away this morning, so I hear. Now, this was a man who began as a brilliant Lutheran theologian and then strayed to Rome. I have to put it that way. There were great differences theologically between myself and Father Newhouse, and yet he was a good guest and a friend. There was never a better advocate for life in the public square, for the family, and for civil rights. And one of the things I remember Father Newhouse for doing, which I try to emulate as well, he raised the caliber of conversation in the public square over these hotly contested issues. He raised it to the highest level, and he kept it there. And he will be remembered, I think, as one of the most influential theologians, generally speaking, in the 20th century in America. So our prayers for the family of Father Richard John Newhouse. Our guest for our pastor's roundtable on this Thursday, Pastor George Borghardt. He's associate pastor of St. Mark Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. George, welcome back.
Hey!
And here in the studio, Pastor Michael Walther, pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois. Michael, thanks for coming over.
Good to be here, Todd.
A little longer drive for Pastor Warren Worth. He's pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold, Missouri. Thanks for coming up.
Glad to be with you.
Mike, the first question for you. Let's talk about how this petition, although it falls kind of midway through the prayer, is in more than one way the heart of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses.
It's kind of a typical Hebrew pattern there. Oftentimes you find the center of a psalm, that's the key. We don't wait till the end a lot of times, and that's what this is in this prayer. You get to that petition, forgive us our trespasses, and now you've come to the heart of God's plan of salvation. And that's the key to all of our prayers. You know, we how can you even think of coming to the Lord for anything without coming for forgiveness and asking Him for forgiveness? And that's what really makes it the heart of everything.
Pastor Wirth, is there any hope of receiving anything that we ask of God, whatever else it may be in the Lord's Prayer or any other prayer, apart from the forgiveness that we seek in this petition?
No, and I think Martin Luther in his small catechism nails that right off the bat, we're unworthy of anything from God. We deserve only His wrath and punishment because we sin every day. But we come asking God not to look at our sins nor on their account to deny our prayer, but rather to forgive us for Jesus' sake and to hear and grant our requests on account of His grace in Jesus Christ.
Pastor Borghardt, how complete, how all-encompassing, how sheer is the forgiveness that we're talking about here, that we're seeking from our Heavenly Father?
Oh, not a sin left out. All of it answered for by Christ on the cross. Every last sin that we have done, paid for by His blood. So there's nothing left out, nothing. I guess you're not left still holding your sins if you forget one when you pray. I think in the Lord's Prayer we pray for all our sins, pray for forgiveness for all our sins, the ones even we don't know. When we get to confessing our sins, we pray for those that we know and feel in our hearts. So it's all-encompassing, every last sin answered for by Christ's death on the cross, nothing left out.
Is there anything, Pastor Walther, to be made of the two different ways people talk about this? I mean, part of it depends on Bible translation. Mm-hmm. But there are some people who will pray, forgive us our debts.
Right.
Others will say trespasses, and maybe more modern translations might just say forgive us mm-hmm. our sins.
Yeah, I know. My wife and I go around, she hates that word debts, and I tell her, but Carol, really that is the literal, the word that Jesus uses there.
But, in Matthew. In
right, gospel. Yes, that's true. but what kind of debt do we have before God? I mean, financial debts, this is our debt. Our debt is one of sin, and that's the context of the New Testament, clearly. So I think that's the best way to understand it.
What's a trespass, Pastor Wirth? What is that?
Crossing over the line. So God puts a line in the sand that says, don't step over that line. You step your hairy little toe over that line, and bam, you have trespassed. You have transgressed. You stepped over the line, you're a sinner.
Where's the line? What is the line that God draws in the sand?
It's in His commandments.
So the Ten Commandments is a summary of the of God's line in the sand for us to observe, to, stay clear of?
The law says, do this, don't do that. When we disobey what God says, we have transgressed. Or, we were using the word debt. That's as Jesus is quoted by Matthew. In Luke's gospel, the word is harmatia, the usual word for sin, which means missing the mark, which is yet another picture of messing up. Whether you say debts, transgressions, trespass, missing the mark, in any case, we're not living up to God's standard and therefore incur His wrath and punishment and would deserve not that He should answer our prayers, but rather that He should throw us into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what we deserve, but it's because of Jesus who endured that wrath for us that we have the hope of forgiveness and answered prayer.
George, I asked you before about kind of the scope of forgiveness, but what is forgiveness itself? I mean, we use the word, but in our human exercise of forgiveness, it has a very broad spectrum of applications. What is forgiveness?
Oh, God doesn't count what we do against us. He doesn't. He doesn't punish us for what we do. He doesn't even remember what we do. I will remember their sins no more. I think that's probably a really good, when we're talking about forgiveness, we're talking about Him him pardoning us. He's not going to hold those sins against us. He's not going to bring them up again. There's no point in which God acts like my mother when I was growing up. When you were 16 years old, you none of that. That never happens with God. When he forgives, the debt is canceled, the sin atoned for. It's a great word, forgiveness. It's absolution. It's payment. It's freedom from what we have done. But it's got to be connected to what went on. That was the pastor who spoke before me. It's forgiveness always needs to be linked to what Christ did for us on the cross. We are forgiven for Christ's sake. His death, that's what gives us forgiveness.
Okay, I want to explore this a little deeper. We're going to take a break in just a second, but Pastor Walther, there are words used, pardon. That's, I've done something wrong, but I'm not going to face its consequences. And as Pastor Borghardt pointed out, God is even going to cast from his remembrance the fact that I ever even offended him. That's kind of the sins are here and God lets them drop. Is there an upside to this forgiveness as well? An upside. That is, does God give me anything in forgiveness? About 30 seconds before our break.
A clean heart, David says in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew this spirit in me. And yes, I mean, what is taken away allows something there that God has always wanted, and that is the clean spirit and heart that he created in us in the first place.
And that righteousness of Christ, too, right? Wouldn't
okay,
you say that?
Let's
robe
talk
of
about
Christ
that.
Righteousness.
We'll talk about the robe of Christ righteousness that is ours in forgiveness. Stay tuned.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is full of resources to help you and your congregation observe the season of Lent. It's titled, O Sacred Head Now Wounded. It contains devotions, Bible studies, sermons, children's messages, and bulletins for the Lenten season. You can purchase O Sacred Head Now Wounded by calling Concordia Publishing House, 800-325-3040, or click the CPH logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Sacred Head Now Wounded.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues Etc.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Roger Kraft, Michael Fendrick, Ian Chan, Heather Lewis, Mark Jones, Dolores Hartke, Scott Johnson, Morris Tejan, Pat Parker, and Phyllis. Thanks for your support. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkins. Our Pastor's Roundtable, we're talking about the Lord's Prayer. Now we're on the fifth petition, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. I just felt like something was kind of missing there before the break. Not that the answers weren't excellent, but people do tend to think about forgiveness as God wipes away the account against us, blank slate. And then, sadly, many people will say, well, then, okay, it must be up to me to kind of start the moral progress where I can really get on God's good side now. And so God takes the sins away. Now it's my responsibility to replace them with virtue and good works. You were talking about the robe of Christ's righteousness. Talk more about that, if you would, Pastor.
Well, again, you know, we talk about our sins were laid on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, and he paid for those sins at the Calvary's cross. You know, he was handed over to death for our sins, raised again for our justification. But as we have been brought to faith in Christ, we have been given the righteousness of Christ. His holiness, his righteousness have been imputed to us. And with that, I mean, we could add other things too. The Apostle Paul, for example, mentions that we have become sons. And if we're sons, we're also heirs. So there's a rich wealth of things that have been given to us, as you were talking about, the upside of forgiveness. So it's not only the taking away of sin and guilt and transgression and iniquity, taking away the punishment and so forth, but also the giving of life and salvation, the righteousness of Christ, sonship, adoption, in the inheritance we have in Christ, eternal life, heaven. It's all, you know, part of that.
George, if a Christian, well-meaning though he may be, only understands forgiveness as having the slate wiped clean and getting a clean record, and then thinks wrongly, now it's up to me to add all this virtue on top of a clean slate so that, you know, God's certainly not going to hold my sins against me, but if I really want him to be pleased with me, then I better get busy. Where does that lead spiritually?
Well, I'm glad I had it muted, because while you were saying that, I had my phone muted because I was screaming, no, 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 please, no, 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 please, because our salvation gets lost. If forgiveness is something God does for me and then I'm left on my own to do the makeup job, then I'm lost. I'm back to salvation by what I do, which is what Christ rescued us from by his death on the cross. And so it's not that he forgave me and then he said, okay, now that I've wiped your slate clean, you get to it and you make up for what's left. There's a little Roman Catholic twang to that. Mm-hmm. No. He forgives me, and then he puts me into a state of grace where I'm like standing in a field of grace, where everything that I do and will do is covered by the blood of the Lamb. And that Boston song, More Than a Feeling, forgiveness is more than a feeling. It's not something that I got going on inside of me where I feel forgiven or I feel like I forgive someone else. It's more than a feeling. it is Christ's proclamation that what separates me and God has been taken care of by what he did for me.
Okay, this is the tough part, Pastor Walther, because I can hear the words either from my pastor or from someone else, I forgive you, but I know what I've done, and especially with regard to God, I don't feel forgiven. Mm-hmm. I dare say there's not a Sunday when I can say with all my heart, I feel completely forgiven, because I still remember what I did, even if God's forgotten it.
And I think that's where we have to think of the object of our faith, Christ, and we hang on to him, and we know that with him, you know, everything he promised is real, whether I feel it or not. And it's just like a little child with their father saying to them, you know, we're going to go to the doctor. Everything's going to be okay. You know, and you think, oh, it's not going to be okay. But you're with your father, and somehow you get through it. And that's really, to me, the way we get through this forgiveness thing with God. It's all about who he is that determines, you know, what has happened to us. And we can take that to the bank.
You can take it to the bank as it's an accomplished fact. You know, what did Jesus cry out from the cross before he died? It is finished, paid in full. And his resurrection is, you know, proof positive that his sacrifice was accepted by the Father as full payment for your sins and mine. So, you know, it's a historical fact that our sins have been paid for, and, you know, our faith, you know, trusts in that fact and in the promise, and then the feeling can follow.
Okay, here's the other point, and I think I mentioned it at the beginning of the program, the other point at which Christians sincerely worry, and that is Jesus just doesn't say forgive us our trespasses. Pastor Borgard, he says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And if I look at my forgiveness, even for those I dearly love, it is never untainted. It's never unconditional. It is always stained by sin. So it sounds like God's forgiveness is going to be proportional to my forgiveness.
No, I hope not.
Better not be.
I'm lost. It rests on the merits of Christ. It always has to rest on the merits of Christ. But the law is very clear. You don't get forgiven when you withhold forgiveness for someone else. So if you're standing before God, like the parable of the unmerciful servant, you know, and you've been forgiven a great debt, and you go out and grab the person by the throat and say, well, you owe me a little bit. Yeah. Hello. That life of Christ has got nothing going on inside of you. Our hope is always in Christ. It's never in ourselves, not on how much we forgive and not by what we do. It's got to always rest in the merits of Christ.
We talked about the God dropping our sins, and then the upside of forgiveness is not only does he take sin away, he imputes to us the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Pastor Borgard, when I forgive my wife or my children or anyone else for that matter, I can, in a sense, kind of say, okay, I'm wiping your slate clean, but do I have anything to give them like God gives me in forgiveness?
Well, when you give them the forgiveness of sins, you are giving them. The only forgiveness that we have to throw around as Christians is the forgiveness of sins in Christ. As you said, everything else falls short. I'm reminded of the discussion I had with my wife in the hallway the first time I thought I was right in an argument. I thought I finally had grounds to it. She was going to admit that she was wrong. And I was preparing my argument in the hallway of our house, and then she just looked at me and she said, real sweetly, you know what? I was wrong. I'm sorry. Ooh, but no, I'm not done yet.
You know, when you forgive, I've heard it said, and I kind of like this, you give up your right. You know, to avenge.
Right.
It's gone. You're not going to do it.
Okay, now there's a difference between giving up my right
and giving
to
something.
Seek vengeance, or what should I say, suspending my vengeance, but retaining my right to take vengeance in the future should I deem it necessary.
You know, we bury the hatchet with the handle up, so we can go back and get it when we need it.
Okay. I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget.
Is that forgiveness, Pastor Borgard?
No, there's something. Again, there's something kind of left out, and that's what's glorious about Christ's forgiveness. There's nothing left. The handle's not up. Christ's not going to reach down and go get it. He's not going to do you in. There's not a point in which he says, you know, you've done this to me before. it's completely nailed to the cross, and with Christ dying, so dies our sin and our old way of living.
There are a lot of Christian preachers out there, very popular nowadays, who, if they do talk about sin and forgiveness, and some of them do, present kind of a probation rather than salvation. It is really, well, yeah, Jesus forgave you, and you kind of get that forgiveness in one big truckload when you become a Christian, and it better last you. Because if you don't walk the straight and narrow from that point on, God's patience has a limit. With someone who does that, you're trifling with God's grace.
It's a second chance at being perfect rather than being perfectly forgiven.
So when you hear Pastor Worth, someone say, well, God's a God of second chances, and they're talking about forgiveness, how would you correct that?
Well, with that very thought in mind, well, God is more than a God of second chances. Because if the idea is merely that I get a second chance to get it right and to be perfect, and I mess up again, then I'm still lost. But being perfectly forgiven in Christ and knowing that God daily and richly forgives all my sins through the perfect merit of Christ and his blood and righteousness, that's a world of difference. There is true comfort. There is hope and salvation for a rotten sinner like me to know that I have perfect forgiveness rather than just a second chance. Because when I blow the second chance, then what?
Pastor Warren Worth is pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold, Missouri, part of our Pastor's Roundtable this Thursday. It's the 8th of January, along with Pastor Michael Walther here in the studio, pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois. And on the phone intermittently, George Borghardt, he's associate pastor of St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. We're talking about the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The difficulty with this forgiveness thing is I don't think it's in our nature to forgive. It's in our nature to withhold forgiveness, to not only seek vengeance, but to hold the grudge. When we come back, we're going to talk a bit about the parable that Jesus tells. It's already been referenced in our conversation. The unmerciful servant. And it ends with some of the harshest law. If you do not forgive your brother from your heart, so your Father will not forgive you. Sounds a lot like this petition of the Lord's Prayer. Stay tuned.
Too Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station, you're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Ryan Beffrey, Ruth Beatner, Catherine Cotter, Pastor Charles Vanderhyde, Janice Vanderhyde, Jim Burnt, Pam Steinke, Janine Brown, Donald Roth, and Pat Goltz. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
There's an advertising campaign going on in New York City to reach out to women and men who are hurting after abortion. It's called Abortion Changes You. This past month, ads have been placed where hundreds of thousands of New York City subway riders see them. They reach out to the mothers and fathers of aborted babies by telling them they're not alone in their grief, shame, and remorse. And it's working. Scores have gone to the advertised website and shared their personal stories of abortion's aftermath. Many said how alone they felt after the abortion. They were relieved to find someone who would listen and really cared. Some of the top key words expressed were ashamed, angry, and changed. Efforts like these are changing hearts and minds on abortion.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Issues Etc. is listener supported. That means we rely upon you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Pastor's Roundtable, 25 more minutes. Then in the second hour of the program on this Thursday, the 8th of January, Larry Rast is going to join us. We'll talk about pietism. It's an old movement in the Christian church. It's done inestimable damage in the Christian church, and it still does. In fact, I was thinking about this morning. In some ways, many of the errors that militate against Orthodox Christianity today in the church, especially in the American church, are in essence pietism. We'll explain how in about 25 minutes with Dr. Larry Rast. Pastor Borghardt, let's talk a bit about this parable that leaves everyone, or at least I think it should leave everyone, shaking in their boots, the parable of the unmerciful servant. Tell us the story and then somehow give us some comfort after Jesus says, oh, by the way, if you're this guy, no forgiveness for you.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you the story as long as I'm connected to you. It of course, begins with somebody who gets just forgiven an enormous amount of debt. He owes an unbelievable amount, an unpayable amount. And the person that he owes this debt to forgives him of the debt. Now, the problem with this is that the guy leaves forgiven and then goes and finds the first person who owes him some money and asks them for their money, grabs them by the person, and the person who he goes up to says the same thing to him that he said to said to the guy who he owed money to, "Oh, if you just give me a little break, I can get you your money. Just give me," even though he had absolutely no ability to get the money that he owed. This person owed just the slightest bit. I mean, we're talking about the difference between owing $1 million and owing like $100. And he grabs the person by the throat and he says, "You will pay me right now." And it didn't go well for that servant. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, this is Matthew 18, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master, the guy who had forgiven the original debt. And then, of course, you know what his master did. His master wasn't too pleased with him. "Ah, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt and because you pleaded with me. Should you not have shown mercy on your fellow servant as I showed mercy on you?" And in his anger, the master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. And then the great law word, Matthew 18:35, you don't get any worse than this. "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother." And not just that, but from your heart. Ah! So what do we do? So we have been forgiven all of our sins. We've been set free from everything that we have done wrong. We have been given new life to live a life not for ourselves anymore, but for others. And he has filled our forgiveness bucket so much that they splash over to those around us. They are forgiven by the forgiveness which Christ has forgiven us. As Luther says, we minimize our neighbor's sins and maximize our own. I don't have to worry about Todd Wilkins' sin, because my sins so are greatly been forgiven by God that Todd's little foible where he, did what he did to me, he didn't really mean it. That's the gospel in this, that we've been so forgiven that we are freed to forgive others. But that's not what we do in our life. What we do in our life is we try to skirt forgiveness or withhold forgiveness or try to kind of partially forgive or come up with reasons why we don't need to forgive. How's about that? I ended on the law. What's up with that? I must have expected to have been disconnected. Somebody rescue me from that law. But that's what we do. Partially forgive or someone try to skirt around this, which makes Matthew 18:35 the worst law of all. "I'm not going to forgive that person, Pastor, because they haven't told me they're sorry."
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
the servant in that parable that was forgiven such a great debt did not ask to have the debt forgiven. He wanted to pay it back. He wanted to get on the installment plan and square himself with the master. But the master will have none of that. What's that about, Pastor Worth?
What a picture that is of God forgiving us. And you're right. Our human nature is such that we're inclined to think we can bargain with God. It's like, well, I won't do it again. I'll trial real, real hard. Then will you forgive me? But in the parable, it's amazing that the master, who obviously represents God himself, takes pity on the man, cancels his debt, and lets him go, which is more than the man was asking for, more than he expected, certainly not anything he deserved. So magnanimous, so merciful is the Father, who is the master in the parable.
Pastor Walther, I'm listening to Pastor Borghardt tell the story, and it sounds like if you could summarize this parable, and this is maybe a good example of where not all of Jesus' parables are ultimately good news. Some of them are just harsh law, appropriately spoken. Seems like the summary is, my lack of mercy or forgiveness for a neighbor can reinstate my debt to God. Am I overstating the case there?
No, I don't think so, because I think this is God's great concern. He forgives this servant without, even though the servant doesn't ask for forgiveness. Same thing in the prodigal son. So Jesus is really emphasizing this business of, I love you, Paul, that God loves us, and forgives us in spite of the fact, that we're rebellious and resistant and all of that. And I think that God is calling us in forgiveness and grace to a new level of living, which is like God. and where we forgive even when people don't say they're sorry, and we have a heart of forgiveness for them just like God has for us, created by God's love and his grace.
So for me to even begin in this obviously frail and imperfect way to forgive my neighbor from my heart, Jesus' words, I must first have been shown this kind of complete and utter forgiveness by the only one who can do that kind of forgiving.
You can't even begin to talk about that unless you're just staring, spiritually or whatever, looking to Jesus. I mean, the thought can't even begin to process in your heart without the fact that your heart is resting on Christ. Now you could begin to forgive like he calls us to forgive, but only with Christ in view.
Pastor Wirth, what kind of a Jesus am I setting up if I say I won't forgive my brother? What am I turning Jesus into?
Well, it turns Jesus into a harsh judge. And it's saying, I don't really appreciate this God of mercy and grace who paid for all my sins and for the sins of the whole world. And that's a key part of this too, isn't it? We love because he first loved us. We forgive because he first forgave us. And when I know that I'm forgiven, first of all, my conscience is terrified and would think, man, yeah, God can forgive others. He can forgive Pastor Walther. He's not so bad. He can forgive Pastor Wilkin. He's not so bad. But man, am I bad, But when I realize that God paid for all sins, for all sinners, for all time and eternity, and my consolation is that Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, that has to include me, it also has to include those who sin against me. And when I realize how wonderful it is that I can find comfort knowing that God forgives me no matter how rotten I've been, because Jesus paid for all my sins, he also paid for all of your sins. And anyone who sins against me, he paid for those sins too. And when I accept the forgiveness by the Holy Spirit working in my heart, repentance and faith, I accept the forgiveness that God offers me, how can I withhold it from those who sin against me?
Let's talk a little bit farther on in Matthew 18, because this petition of the Lord's Prayer leads us in some ways to ask questions like, okay, he says forgive, but what happens when someone has forgiven me? Pastor Borghardt, a little later in Matthew 18, or maybe it's earlier, I can't remember, we have Jesus talking about this whole scenario in which when your brother sins against you, what does he say?
Oh, yeah, I think it's earlier. He says, of course, I've been known to be wrong before.
Verse 15.
But, yeah, he says, if somebody goes and sins against you, go to them. You and him, and discuss it between the two of you. And when your brother over, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained a brother. If he doesn't listen to you, then I got to grab someone else, one of the pastors of a round table or something like that, and then we'll establish the thing between two witnesses. And if he refuses to listen, then well, you tell it to the church. Now we're talking excommunication. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, well, then treat him like a Gentile, a sinner, and a tax collector. And then so whatever you bind on earth, and it's bound in heaven. I mean, what this is when there's a breakdown. If you and I have a falling out, Todd, I've been hung up for the last time. And I don't go and I tell my wife that. I come to you, and I tell you this is bothering me. It's not really bothering me, but if it was. But, I go and tell you so that you and I can work the thing out. What I don't do is go and talk to someone else.
Okay.
And then if you say, no, Borghardt, no.
I'm not going to hang up on you, but I am going to ask you to hold your thought.
Oh,
and
good.
I hope it doesn't get me in hot water with you so we can take a break. When we come back, we'll have 10 more minutes in our pastor's roundtable because we're only through that part. I don't go and tell my wife. I go and I talk to the person who sinned against me. You know what I discovered a couple of years ago? This Matthew 18 thing actually works. It's not just a good thing, it's actually good for us. When we come back, more on forgiveness and the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Carrie Kober, Lawrence Madorin, Pastor Mark Eddy, William Crum, Craig Schneider, Pastor Peter Kirby, Jerry Ripke, Richard Baranzini, Sarah Manley, and Pastor Scott Stiegemeyer. Thanks for your support.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.
When we say Lutheran, we mean Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology, issuesetc.org.
I was there when they crucified my Lord. I held the scalpel when the soldier drew his sword. I threw the dice when they pierced his side. But I've seen love conquer the great divide. When love the town, I'm gonna
catch. Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes in our Pastor's Roundtable this Thursday, the 8th of January. In about 10 minutes, we'll talk about pietism, individualistic, experiential, subjective Christianity. Dr. Larry Rast will be our guest. Pastor George Borghardt is on the phone, and here in the studio, Pastor Michael Walther and Pastor Warren Wirth. Pastor Wirth, I want you to pick up where George left off. And I guess the best place to kind of kick off on this Matthew 18 thing and forgiving our brother is Matthew 18 just Jesus' excommunication policy? Is it just an outline for the process of excommunicating unrepentant sinners?
Oh, no, it's much more than that. And I think that's what one has to understand as you read through this. The whole point of this, the whole attitude that we have as we follow this injunction is to try to win our brother back. You know, read through the text there in Matthew 18, verses 15 and following, and the whole point, you know, he's your brother. If your brother sins against you, and then later on, if he listens to you, you have gained your brother. You know, that's the whole goal.
I'm thinking about that word brother, Pastor Walther, and I guess I've never thought about it this way before, but to hear you describe that, maybe it is my brother. Maybe it's my blood brother. And so here's Jesus telling the story. If your brother sins against you, go talk to him. And then if he does not repent, then yada, yada. And in the end, if he does not repent, let him be to you as a tax collector and a sinner. And I'm thinking to myself, if I'm thinking about my blood brother, I don't ever want my brother to be to me like a tax collector and a sinner. I don't want him to end up like that. Is that a better understanding of this Matthew 18 thing?
I think so. I think that helps, you know, that the total motivation is one of love. Love your neighbor and be concerned when they sin against you. And really, it's not so much about you getting things right between the two of you, but it's more about them having things right with God. Because when that's right, then the things between you will get taken care of, you know, and you don't have to worry about it.
I think that's a good point, an excellent point, because really your concern is that person's status in his relationship with God. And that really the meaning here, brother, is this brother because he's a Christian brother. And when you get to the point of excommunication and where Jesus says, you know, if he will not listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. How did Jesus treat tax collectors? not hatefully. It's not about hate. It's about realizing the difference between if somebody's an insider, one of us, a brother, forgiven sinner, or an outsider who is still a mission prospect. And I think that's what we need to understand, too. So even when you excommunicate someone, it's not about hate. It's still about love. It's just recognizing and telling this person plainly, you used to be a brother, now you're a mission prospect. We still love you, and we'd love to win you back. May God's gospel work on your heart so that as you repent and receive that forgiveness in Christ, you will be our brother again.
Pastor Borghardt, if I think this is becoming sadly more common in the church today, fewer and fewer pulpits, the vocabulary has been kind of censored so that sin is not a word that's often used, perhaps judgment, offense against God, God's law, the Ten Commandments, all of those things. And corresponding to that, less and less talk of forgiveness, of mercy, of Christ and his cross. So I'm wondering how a lot of these congregations, when they go to pray the Lord's Prayer, if they do at all, they might be taken aback by this whole forgiveness thing, because forgiveness just isn't in their vocabulary anymore.
Well, I think there's some sins in the evangelical church. I mean, I'm a little chubby. I can work on that. And I don't have a lot of money, so I need to work on that too. But the actual sin and forgiveness that you're talking about, I would agree with you. And I think that the interpretation that you guys are working on this Matthew 18 is great, because Peter's follow-up question, okay, yeah, well, that's all well and fine, Jesus, about me forgiving my brother and all, but yeah, exactly how many times do I have to forgive this guy? Seven? 70 times seven. That there's never a point in which we withhold forgiveness from our neighbor. I think when you lose calling someone to repentance from the pulpit, when your sermon has become devoid of the ability to actually engage somebody for what they've done wrong, you lose the ability to actually give them the gospel, the forgiveness of sins obtained by Christ on the cross and delivered to them in the word that you're preaching. So, yeah, I think it's probably foreign to probably unbelievable. How can God forgive my sins solely on account of Christ? It just doesn't make any sense. But that's the way it is in the gospel.
Sometimes I find myself in the position of those old hymn writers who would think, sometimes they write this flowery poetry about, when I consider the magnitude of my sin, it is frightening how merciful God is. And I'm kind of put in that position, Pastor Walther, that George was just talking about. If I'm honest with myself, I find it hard to believe that God really forgives the way he does, knowing who I am, what I think, what I say, what I do on a day-to-day basis. I find it hard to believe he could really forgive this.
I think that a person who thinks that way is really exploring, you know, this is a mystery, and that's a good thing to have that kind of how can this be kind of thought in your head. And that's where the Holy Spirit has to come in, and God's word to stand in affirmation of what we need to believe and what we will believe and what God puts in our hearts. But we'll stand in awe forever trying to figure out how God can forgive the way he does forgive.
And gonna break in. You know, and it's not because we forgive that we are forgiven. That's got to be clearly said. Yeah. This business of Matthew 18 is not, I forgive, and so, therefore, I am forgiven. The only reason why I'm forgiven, pastors, as you've said over and over again, is why?
Because of Christ.
There it is. You know, I just remember, you know, because so often, I'm going to make myself the hinge. There I am pushing myself in to be the reason why I'm forgiven, because I forgive. No, I'm forgiven because of Christ. And the forgiveness that I pass on is Christ's forgiveness.
Pastor Walther, we began with, this is the heart of the Lord's Prayer, forgiveness. Is it more than just the heart of the Lord's Prayer? Is it, in fact, the heart of the Christian life? Is it really, in the end, on the last day, what we're going to look back and say, that's what my life was really all about, just being forgiven.
Absolutely. It's the heart of everything that God has done and will do. It is the very heart of the faith we hold and all that that God wants us to know and believe.
Even think in Revelation. You know, you have the people with white robes and palm branches in their hands. And what do they say? You know, these are they who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, you know. Therefore, they stand before God and mm-hmm. you know, praise him night and day in his temple. You know, in the end, it's, you know, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, who's redeemed us to God by his blood.
Pastor Borghardt, you get the last word, if you would. What is what does it mean to have, and you only have a minute, what does it mean to have a Savior like Jesus, a Father like our Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, this God who is in essence all about being and giving forgiveness?
It means that even you and I can be saved, are saved in Christ by what he did. And it also means that we too will gladly forgive those who sin against us. It means both. It means that we, even you and I, with all our sins, the four of us, with all our sins, are forgiven because of Christ. And that forgiveness is then passed on to those around us because God in Christ has forgiven them too.
Pastor George Borghardt is Associate Pastor of St. Mark Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. George, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you very much for having me.
Pastor Michael Walther is Pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois. Thanks for coming over.
Glad to be here.
And Pastor Warren Worth is Pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold, Missouri. Thank you as well.
My pleasure.
There's really nothing better than this. I mean, it's not just the heart of the Lord's Prayer. It is really the heart of everything that God is about. Think about it this way. What Jesus is telling us in the Lord's Prayer here is he wants our lives to be all about forgiveness. He wants our lives to be, in essence, the granting of mercy and pardon to everyone around us. That's what the shape of our lives should be, the kind of that cross-shaped life. He wants us to live from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which means sin can no longer be held against anybody. We not only do we not have the right to hold sin against one another because we're sinners, we simply cannot do it having been shown this kind of forgiveness. He wants our lives to be shaped by forgiveness for our neighbor because Christ's life is entirely shaped by forgiveness. It is the very life of Christ. It's one word that simply summarizes everything he did, all of what Christ is, obedient to the Father, suffering, sacrificing, giving of himself, suffering and dying, all of that is rolled together into one word, forgiveness. That's his life. That's our life too. When we come back, we'll talk with Dr. Larry Rast about pietism, individualistic, experiential, subjective Christianity. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.